1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Ian, we have seen something that happens so often with natural disasters that it is commonplace and it's something that's expected. And if it doesn't happen, there are people in the media that will complain and the populace will complain. And that is the federal government coming in and even the state government asking the federal government to come in and provide relief for those who have had a loss. And it doesn't matter whether it's a hurricane or a flood or a drought or a wildfire that is out of control or tornadoes. The federal government is there to be the savior, and the state governments are asking them to be the savior. But we are continuing our sermon series looking at the Bible to see what the Bible says about what the role the government should play in natural disasters, more specifically, in relief of natural disasters. Now, one thing we talked about last week, if you missed last week's sermon, you can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, and our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle. You can see those. I also would like to encourage you to go to FloridaVotesValues.com, where you can see voter guides for the upcoming general election as well, where you can educate yourself on what the Bible says about issues and also educate yourself on where the candidates stand on those issues. But just to review what we talked about last week, we looked at the Old Testament and we looked really at what the Bible has to say about government's role in helping out those who are poor and those who are needy. And when we look at those who have experienced damage through Hurricane Ian, really you can say that many of them are not poor. In fact, if you look at those who experienced loss and you compare their lifestyle prior to Hurricane Ian to the lifestyle of and the class and the level of comfort and the level of belongings and the level of wealth compared to most of the world, you'll actually see that even the poor would be considered rich in many other countries of this world where people work for just a dollar or two or three or four a day many times. So we have phenomenal abundance here in this nation. So really we're not talking about, when we talk about those who have lost from natural disaster, we're really not talking about the poor, but they are needy. And what the Bible has to say, the Bible in the Old Testament does give several provisions for helping the poor, and also the Bible speaks to the poor and needy as well. In Exodus chapter 22, we saw that money would be lent to the poor and without the poor being charged interest. Wouldn't be lent by the government, though. It would be lent by individuals that had means, would be able to lend to those who needed something. Every 7 years, there was a year of release, and the person that had debt, it would be wiped off the books. They wouldn't owe anything anymore. And God actually even specifically states, don't harden your heart toward your brother. If this year of release is coming up, still lend him the money. Because even if you don't get it back, I'm able to bless you. I'm able to make up for so that you have an abundance of blessing so that you're not out that money. In other words, God's able to provide more so that even if you don't get that back, you actually are still blessed beyond measure, more so than what you were before you lent the money. There was also a provision where people could actually work for food, where they would not glean all of the grapes. They would not take all of the wheat. They would not. In fact, one of the things that happens in farming today is we'll harvest and then go back and harvest again and go back and harvest again. And it's because some things aren't ready to be harvested. But God actually says, harvest once and leave the rest for the poor. The poor can actually go and work for food. We saw that the wicked actually persecutes the poor, but God is a helper, the helper of the poor and needy. And this, again, many times when you see poor and God being involved, you'll see also the word needy. And again, not everyone who is needy is poor, but definitely those who have had loss are needy. And we see also that God maintains the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. We also see that God blesses those who help the poor, and God actually shows forth his favor unto them. So we're going to look at the New Testament and see, first of all, in a few different examples, one, a parable that Jesus spoke, and actually some direct examples from the early church. We'll also see what the Apostle John said in 1 John about helping the poor. So first, we're going to read a story that, if you've listened to my sermons in the past on this topic or similar topics, you might have heard this. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan that called his congressman. Now, obviously, this is a little bit modified a little bit here. Follow me, and you can read along, and we'll actually play on this a little bit, but we will bring it back and show you what the Word of God actually says. But from Luke chapter 10, beginning of verse 25, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? In other words, he wanted to say, Hey, you know what? Is it just the person that lives right next to me? Or who is my neighbor? Because, you know, I can love the person that lives right next to me as myself. But, you know, if I have to do this to everyone, well, you know, he was trying to justify himself. And then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he pulled out his cell phone, and he called his congressman and said, This is terrible. There's a Jew that's been beaten and is lying in the ditch, ready to die, and we don't have a government program to help this poor Jew out. We need to have more government intervention here. Please pass a law so that we can help people like this, so that this never happens again, so that no one ever has to be without help. Now, obviously, that's not the way it was written. And in fact, if we were to just change the scenario just a little bit, many people today may look at this as the good congressman instead of the good Samaritan. In fact, if the Bible were written the way many people view and the way many people think, what we would see is that many people would say, well, there's Jesus should have been talking about the good congressman who actually made sure that his constituent got what he was deserved, what was rightfully his, got the tax revenue, got the government to actually make sure that the government would actually provide assistance to this person, or the good governor who made sure that the federal government provided assistance, or the good president who actually answered the call of the governor and made sure that the people got what they needed. Now, we know obviously that's not what Jesus said, and that's not the way this reads. There weren't cell phones, and other than that there weren't cell phones and that there weren't congressmen at the time, you won't see Jesus advocating for the government to do anything to help this man. What you will see is the real story of the Good Samaritan. And in verse 33, this is the way it really reads. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he took him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Now notice here that the Good Samaritan, first of all, there was a priest that passed on by, could have intervened, but chose not to. Really, when you look at the law of God, there were certain provisions where they weren't to come near someone that was dead. This person wasn't dead yet, but what if he dies? The priest didn't want to be bothered. The Levite did the same, just passed right on by, didn't want to be bothered, didn't want to risk it, didn't want to get dirty. And you know what? Helping people out can be dirty, can be messy. If you've ever helped anyone out that is in need, you probably know this. I remember years ago, there was a family or a group of people. I'm not sure exactly if they were family, but they presented themselves to be a family, although they were two men and one woman, and they were down on their luck, and they needed a church to put them up, and we did put them up for a night or two in a hotel. But they said that the woman was pregnant, and of course we didn't know really whether they were telling the truth or lying. They said they were carpenters, and we needed some work. We were actually about to start a project at our business. We needed some work, so I said, well, let's pay them to do things. Well, one thing led to another. I went to Lowe's and bought supplies and brought them to the store. And these men ripped out just about everything in our bathroom. And we got a new vanity and new cabinet and new toilet, all kinds of things. We were building new counters for the front. And lo and behold, we found out those guys weren't carpenters. They didn't know how to cut a board straight. They didn't know how to build a bench straight. They weren't plumbers either, because even though they tore out the original sink, they couldn't get the new sink connected in without leaking, without water going all over the place. And we actually had to, and I had already paid them money to do this, to help them out. We actually ended up hiring other people to come in to actually do work that that these people said they could do, said they were capable of doing, but obviously weren't capable of doing. So that's just an example. It might not always go that way with you, but if you help people out, sometimes it can get messy. Sometimes things don't quite go right. Sometimes, you help someone out that might be addicted to drugs, and they may actually steal from you. They may actually take your money and leave and go to buy a part and not come back because they're going to do drugs. You have to realize when you help people out, sometimes it can get a little bit messy. And the Levite and the priest didn't want to have any part of that mess. But the Samaritan, and one thing you may not understand here, we know about racial tension We know about racial tension in this country, and we certainly have seen a lot of racial tension. And certainly many would say that racial tension is great today, but, you know, really, if you look at the level of racial tension, to a large extent, I think you'll see that we've made great strides in this nation. I mean, we no longer have people of a certain race that can be legally owned. We no longer have rules that say you can't use the same water fountain, or you have to sit at the back of the bus, or you can't go to the same school if you're a certain color. We certainly have made a lot of strides racially. But really, the Samaritans and the Jews were at odds racially. Really, the racial divide was really greater than you would see between blacks and whites at the height of tension in this country. The Samaritans were looked at as dogs. They were looked at as half-breeds. They were partial Jews, but they weren't all Jews, and they were looked down upon and despised. And Jesus chose this Samaritan that the Jews would despise as the example of someone who showed love to his neighbor. And notice that the Samaritan, he had compassion on the man. He also went to the man and he bandaged him. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds. So he didn't go and take him to a government agency that helped him out. He actually bandaged his wounds himself. It doesn't say that he even went and sought government aid or government money to help him do this. He actually did this out of his own means. He poured on oil and wine on his wounds. He set him on his own animal, not the government's. He didn't call for the government to come and pick this man up. He didn't even call for an ambulance to pick him up. He drove him, rode him on his own animal. I'm sure he walked while the Jew that was injured actually rode on his own animal. He brought him to an inn, and he took care of him himself. And in verse 35, on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, and that's a day's worth of work. You can think about how much you make in a day. That may be a certain, obviously, everyone makes different amounts of money. Some people might make $20 in a day. Some people might make several thousand dollars in a day. But whatever it is, think about, and in this case, in this day, a certain laborer would make a certain amount a day, and he's taking out 2 denarii, the amount that someone would make for 2 whole days. He gives this to the innkeeper and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come, I will repay you." So he is actually out of his own money, not again asking the government to do any work, but out of his own money, he's giving to the innkeeper and saying, "Take care of him, and I'm going to come back. And if you need more, if you spend more, if what you've done for him costs more than two days worth of work, I will pay it." And he says in verse 36, "So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" In verse 37, "And he said, 'He who showed mercy on him.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go and do likewise.'" So you see, Jesus, we hear the phrase quite often, what would Jesus do? Well, this is what Jesus told us to do. So certainly what Jesus would do would be an important thing to look at, but also what Jesus told you to do is even more important. Jesus didn't tell you to ask the government to take money from everyone to give money to some people who were in need. Jesus actually said, "You go and do what you can do. Show mercy, show love if you have means." And this is one of the things that we'll see in the Bible. You know, certainly in the Old Testament, a poor person wouldn't have been lending to another poor person. It takes someone that was blessed, someone that has means that would be able to lend. But Jesus here is showing showing compassion, showing mercy, helping out the poor, helping out the needy out of your own resources without asking the government. Most of the people today, in today's America, many of the people, I won't say most, but many of the people who are involved in helping out the poor, who are involved in helping out the needy, are receiving money from the government to do so. They're actually, their salaries are being paid to help this person out. And when 5 o'clock rolls along, many of them go home and forget all about the poor and the needy. They're making money, and certainly I'm not saying that they don't care about the poor, but they're actually not doing it necessarily out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it because they're making a living doing it. And Jesus here is not saying ask the government to help out or even call 911 or ask the ambulance to take this man to the hospital. Jesus is saying whatever, and not that you shouldn't call 911 ever or that you shouldn't ask the ambulance to take someone to the hospital. Obviously, if someone's in need and they need that, that's what they need, and you can't provide them, their medical needs are greater than what you can provide, then certainly you should do that. But he's not saying here to ask the government to take care of this need and to provide this need. He's saying you do it. You provide. You help out. Again, the Samaritan bandaged his wounds himself. He took care of him himself. He paid his own money to take care of him. And he asked the innkeeper to take care of him as well. John, in 1 John chapter 3, we'll read verses 16 through 18. By the way, we are all familiar with John 3:16. Well, this is 1 John 3:16 through 18. John is here directing those who have means to help those who have needs. And verse 16 of 1 John chapter 3. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So even as Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, he not only symbolically laid down his life, Jesus actually died on the cross for you and for me, so that our sins can be forgiven, so that we can repent of our sins, have our sins washed in the blood of Jesus, and be made whole. And John says, even as Jesus did this, so we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In verse 17, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in word and in truth, or in deed and in truth. So here he's saying, if you have this world's goods, in other words, if you are wealthy, if you have means, if God has blessed you, don't be stingy. Don't just keep that all to yourself. But also, you see your brother in need, don't shut your heart up from him, and show love to him. If you shut your heart, how does God's love abide in you? And he says, don't just love in word. Don't just say, be blessed. You know, James talks about this. He says, you know, don't just say, be warm and be filled. Actually show mercy, show love. Show by your works that you love this person. And John is really saying just about the same thing here. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, let me say this. Regardless of how much money you have, you will never have enough to help out the poor if you spend every bit of it. In fact, in America, many people do more than spend more than every bit of it. Many people have borrowed to spend money. And many people, even people that are wealthy, even people that make more money in a year than you will make in your lifetime, those people actually if they spend all of their money, they still don't have enough to help out the poor. So one of the things that we need to do is, first of all, we need to be diligent in our work. The Bible says that God rewards the diligent, and we need to be diligent in our work so that God can reward us with prosperity. But we also need to live below our means, to not spend everything that we have coming in, so that we can be able to minister to those who are in need. And we're going to look at an example of the church in action in the first century church in the book of Acts. Chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And then in Romans chapter 15, verse 26, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor among the saints who were in Jerusalem. So we see two examples here where the first century church, instead of asking the government to help out in a time of need, actually provided help out of their own means, as they were able, not beyond their ability, but as they were able, they provided that help. And we also ought to, out of our own means, and there are Christian organizations right now that are helping out the poor and the needy. And again, not everyone is poor that experienced loss in Hurricane Ian, but everyone that experienced loss is needy. And there are Christian ministries, Samaritan Purse, and CBN has groups that go over there. And the Baptists have groups that are going over there. There are Christian organizations, and you can either join up and go over there and help out, or give your own means to these organizations so that they can help out as well and provide for those who are in need. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Let me tell you, oh my friends, about this joy I'm living in. Let me take the mic, I wanna testify how I was dead and then I came to life. No more living in the dark of night. Now everything's alright. I've been changed. When you turn the